Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all, welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Ajit. In today's episode, we are looking at the ongoing Cricket World Cup. And to help me unpack the last 3 to 4 games, we have a regular guest on the show, Ramchandra. Hello, Ramchandra. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ajit. Nice to be here again.
Always happy to have your company and your incisive thoughts. How do you think the World Cup is going on? Let's start there. There have been one or two upsets potentially, but there have been a couple of underwhelming performances as well. Maybe we can say it like that. Your thoughts so far?
Yeah, I think we haven't witnessed anything of like a nail biter of sorts as of now, but really happy the way for Afghanistan. It was really a disappointment that, you know, in 2019, they lost all the 9 matches, which probably they should have won a 2 or 3, I guess. They're not that bad aside. So for them to, you know, upset the world champions England was a great result. And they have a few games coming up to Chennai. So we better watch out. I mean, they can upset you with the spin. And the other games went as usual and the usual suspects went. But I think Afghanistan game was a standout game, Ajit.
Let's start right there. Let's start looking at the Afghanistan game. So Afghanistan had a not so good start to the tournament. They lost to India, they lost to Bangladesh. But then when they came up against what could be considered an England that had come back to its best, because England had dropped Bangladesh, right? So they had won with a huge margin, right? And you thought this might be, if Afghanistan are not careful, it might become a one-sided contest. I mean, if you thought England could open the batting and then pile up a 350, 400, then it might become one-sided. But it did not become like that. Even after the end of first innings, I was not convinced Afghanistan may pull off a win.
Right.
Let's see the first innings. Rahmanullah Gurbaz was run out, unfortunately. I thought he was playing exceptionally well. He had every intention potentially of taking Afghanistan to 300 plus, 350 plus. But then there was a little bit of a collapse. But then what I saw, Ikram Ali killed the keeper, kept batting, the lefty, right? But then he was supported very well by Rashid Khan and Mujibur Rahman in the tail.
Yeah, 284, I think they would have taken it any day. But I was like, I thought that, you know, England probably, you know, played for the due. And they felt that the due factor is going to come into play, so the better chase. But unfortunately, it backfired. And 284 was a decent score considering Delhi. I think they would have probably 340 or 350 is a match winning or a pass score, you can call. But 284 was not a big deal. I mean, one good partnership, probably England could have been home. But Afghanistan being Afghanistan, they just their spinners came to the fore, as simple as that. Also, the seamers did their job. And 284, they made it look like 350, to be very honest, I do think. The way they bowled, the way they three around themselves, you know, in the field, and they knew that, you know, they can get this done. And initial wickets, they were always in the game. And right from ball number one, they were always in the game. From getting, you know, Johnny Bairstow and Joe Root cheaply, they were right on top of the game. And a bit of partnership between Dave Millar and Harry Brook kept them in the game. But once that partnership was broken, it was just a matter of getting Harry Brook out and the game was done and dusted. And that's what exactly happened. And full marks to the way Mujib bowled. I think probably he was the best bowler, providing them the control. I know I know Rashid Khan also got three wickets, but it was Mujib who did the damage early on. And he thoroughly deserves the laurels what he's getting.
Absolutely. Look, for me, the hidden gem in that lot was actually Mohammad Nabi. Because he got a couple of very, very crucial wickets. One, he got the set David Malan out. And Sam Curran, who in most circumstances can be a real bother. Right? So, England were in a bit of a slump. Harry Brook was playing from one end. Him and Malan set up the partnership and sort of... At 2 for 62 in the 13th over, you know, this is the England that will eventually start accelerating. Malan takes his time at the top. We know it. But around the 15th over, he would have set himself up with a 45 or a 50-run score. And then from then on, he'll go.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
It was all looking like that. But then suddenly it was Mohammad Nabi who first got rid of David Malan. I thought that was a gimme. I thought he beat him in the air and then got him to chip up to covers. And that was an interesting dismissal for me. And then Harry Brook sort of fought a lone battle. He had a bunch of teen support. That is 10 from Livingston, 10 from Curran, 9 from Vokes. You can also count that as very close. And Rashid hit 20. But then by the time Rashid and Vokes got together, I thought the game was done. I mean, there was no coming back for England from there. Because people like Rashid, even Liam Livingston, I think they did a wonderful job with the ball. Right, Liam Livingston 1 for 33 and Rashid 3 for 42. This is exceptionally good bowling. If anything, their faster bowlers went for a few runs. But in the end, England, as you said, would have taken that score as well. I mean, knowing that they made 360 in the last game. And more importantly, they have a very, very good top order. Bairstow is not in form. But then Root was in form. The rest of them are in form. Butler has been a bit conspicuous by his absence. Right? Do you think that's hurting England? Bairstow and Butler?
Very much. And they're missing Ben Stokes also. Ben Stokes played all the games leading up to the World Cup and he's missing, or probably his presence could have lent that balance, and he's someone who goes after the bowling. So a left-hander in between probably could have helped their cause. But you got to speak what you have. And talking about this game, I felt that they probably felt that 280 is the easy score to get on this track. The body language suggested that. But they were in for a surprise. Afghanistan were just on top of the game. Ajay. They did not give an inch. And their spinners, as I said, I think they were on... I mean, they had their best day in the World Cup. And you could see what can they do. And I mean, I guess that all the team need to be wary of Afghanistan. If there is a bit of help in the pitch for the spinners, they can win against any team. It can be even against India, because their spinner, like, they have three top quality spinners, of whom two can bat very well. So they have that balance. And you know, you never know, Ajit, with Afghanistan. Two or three more wins and they could be in the contention for the top four. So I would call this side as a team that can beat any team on a given day. Of course, the batting, the consistency is not there. If they sort that out, if they have two or three batters who get them runs consistently, they have the bowling to defend any sort of total.
Even they have a Rahmat Shah who's not functioning. They have a sort of a misfire in top order. It has to come together. They have a dangerous lower order when it comes to the bat. If they make 284 and there is some support, you would be very wary. You are absolutely right.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think England need to get their act right together. They can't afford to lose one more game. Probably they need to win two or three on the bounce here to just to be sure that, you know, they are in the right direction. So one more game, they'll have the panic. They'll hit the panic button. One more loss here, and England would be in real trouble.
Absolutely. I mean, out of four, if you lose three, you're already one half of
Unfortunately, they would be facing South Africa, who are probably playing their best cricket. The next game is against South Africa.
Absolutely. They have tough opponents coming up. India, New Zealand, South Africa.
Yeah.
Their next three matches are very tough. So, if you are England, but look, this England has shown some resilience in the test matches earlier in the series in Ashes. This year, they came back from a 2-0, right? So, I would say, I would write them off. So, there's something to be had here. I'm going to look forward to that because this is only going to make it interesting if you're a fan, right?
We want a close contest. We want the table to be, you know, like even Stevens till the last week of the league phase. And we don't want a couple of teams running from the rest and two other teams care, trying to catch up and get just marginally ahead of others and get into third. And so we don't want that kind of a table. We want all the teams in fray, at least in the last week, at least a week. I'm sure that a couple of teams would taper off, but still, I think at least if eight teams are in contention in the last week of the league phase, that would be a success.
In that case, we'll go one step back to the other match, which could have been a thriller, which was the most hyped match so far in the World Cup, the India-Pakistan game.
Yeah.
At least for BCCI, they thought this is the opening of the World Cup. They even had a air quote ceremony.
Yeah, there was a bit of criticism. Criticism also for that.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it was not aired. I think after the backlash, which they, you know, attracted on social media, that was not aired. But I personally didn't feel if there was no opening ceremony for this World Cup, I don't understand what sense does it make to have a ceremony of that sort for one particular game. So there were few people taunting also, is there a reserve day specifically for this day? Should there be a rain? So these kind of taunts will happen. And, you know, I mean, you're just milking too much, Ajit, you know, when India and Pakistan face off. The fact that they're not playing bilateral these days. So the boards consider this as a cash cow and they try and do, you know, encash whatever they can. And with this dramatics, they're taking it to the next level. That's what I can say.
Well, you have to strike the iron while it's hot, right? So, they think the iron is hot for an India-Pakistan game.
Yeah.
Why not? But all right.
Yeah.
All talks off the field aside, if you have to come back to what happened on the field, surprised at how Pakistan batted, at least in the second half of their innings?
Absolutely. They were cruising at one stage. And that demons of 2017 Champions Trophy finals were coming back. To be very honest, I felt that they're going to get at least 340, 350, and India will have a tough chase. And it was a masterclass of Bumrah and Kuldeep, you know, who pick wickets when you don't expect bowlers to pick wickets in the middle order, I mean, in the middle overs. And the kind of control they provided, Ajit, if you watch that match, I think India had no business getting those many wickets in between middle overs. But they did that. They came back and you know, one of those days where Rohit Sharma had, you know, whatever he touched, he turned into gold. As simple as that. He threw the ball to Jadeja. Jadeja picked two wickets, picked him wickets. Pandya picked him wickets. On top, Siraj got wickets. So it was like an overall thing, you know, all the bowlers coming into the fore. And I mean, 158 for two they were, and to be bowled out for 190 odd was really disappointing. No one expected that kind of a slide. And it's really disappointing. Even as a cricket fan, you'd probably want a competitive game. 270, 280 and India chasing it down in 45th over, I'd have taken that kind of a game. But this was kind of a one-way traffic. And once Rohit Sharma started hitting those, you know, those big shots, I mean, of course, Pakistan were on the back foot. They were probably never in the game. You could see from the body language. Once they were bowled out for 190, they knew this. They were at least 80-100 runs short on that kind of a pitch. So they tried a bit, but as I said, I mean, Rohit Sharma on his day can murder any bowling attack, and he just took the game away from them.
Well, he did precisely that. So, that wicket of Babar Azam, who was set and batting on 50, he tried a cheeky shot to Siraj and was out. The ball did not misbehave, nothing. Then, from then on, it was what you said, the sheer genius of Bumrah sort of working Rizwan out with a cutter. And Kuldeep Yadav coming to the party. There was a bit of bad luck when it came to Iftikhar Ahmed. Probably he was unlucky to be bowled around his legs off his own wrist. But then the rest, they worked it out. Mohammad Nawaz was worked out. You saw that the Indian bowlers clearly knew what they were doing, but also Pakistani batsmen fell into the trap. So 191 was not going to be enough. What Pakistan needed were wickets up front. Shubman Gill sort of started like him and Rohit Sharma. They wanted to finish the game off, right? As quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But after two wickets down, The only thing that kept India so buoyant was Rohit Sharma's batting, as you rightly said. Even at 80 for 2, you were not really worried. If it were 36 for 2, you would be worried in the 10th over, right? But it was 80 for 2. You won't be worried. So that's purely because of the class and the effortless way in which Rohit Sharma was hitting sixes. Six more sixes in this game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Happened to witness this entire innings. I was very, very happy to see. I mean, the way he hits those front foot pull shots. Yeah. I mean, it's a real joy to watch those sixes.
Absolutely, Ajit. I think probably I've never seen a more effortless batter, to be very honest. I saw a bit of Lara. You could say even Inzamam or someone like that who made batting look effortless. But this guy has many people say that, but you know, a few batsmen who are a few notches above the rest have a few extra seconds to play that shot. But I mean, looking at the way Rohit Sharma bats, he has lots of seconds more than the other batter. He picks the length so quickly. He's a compulsory hooker. You could see that. But the way he picks up the length and the way he hits the sixes, he makes it look a walk in the park. I mean, you can't do that. You have no business doing that against bowlers who bowl 140 plus. And I just have to bow down to sheer genius of Rohit Sharma. I mean, I don't think you'll find a batsman of that sort in the days to come, at least in the next decade or so, who makes batting look so easy. And it's unfortunate that it took a lot of time for him in test matches, I'm talking about. He should have probably had 7,000 or 8,000 test runs by now, considering his class. But I think if he gets his World Cup, probably he'll really be very happy with what he has done. And he deserves this, Ajit. As Ravi Shastri said, he's been a World Cup legend, 7 centuries, most than by anyone, probably could have been even 8. Had he not been out in the 80s against Australia, if I'm not wrong.
Pakistan.
I beg your pardon. I think it was against Pakistan. Correct. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I think a couple of more centuries and who knows. I mean, if he fires in the knockouts, I can't see any reason why India can't win this World Cup.
Fair enough. I would say, look at it. India are looking good. 3 out of 3 wins. Pakistan, 1 loss out of 3. Still not bad. But if you look at their upcoming games perspective, how do you see these two teams shaping up? Let's start with India.
India probably have done their job. I think they have a game against Bangladesh, a game against Netherlands. And I think they should fancy their chances against Sri Lanka. I think out of the next 6 games, 3 games, probably they should win it. 9 out of 10 times at least. So if they can manufacture 1 win out of against New Zealand, South Africa, and England, they're through. So you need 6 wins at least to be in top 4. So India are, for all practical purposes, are through. And also considering where they would be playing, the conditions, I think the Bangalore, they have a game, Dharamshala. So all these are good batting pitches. So I don't see any reason why India would struggle to make it. They should make it. And when you consider Pakistan, I think they have a tricky kind of an itinerary coming up. They have to face Afghanistan in Chennai. And what Afghanistan can do on that kind of track, which as his spinners, they should be wary of facing Afghanistan. But you never know with Pakistan. They can beat any top seven on a given day. So Pakistan are very much in the fray for the top 4. And I would be really surprised if they don't make it to the top 4, considering the way England and Australia are struggling. Probably one of them can miss out and Pakistan can be through. I'm sure that South Africa also are going to make it to the top 4. So New Zealand, South Africa, India and Pakistan can be there.
Okay.
This is what I feel. I think, probably in England would find it tougher going from here.
All I'm looking at, potentially India may have done enough as long as things go to plan to sort of secure a semifinal. Yeah. And so will Pakistan by the looks of it as things stand.
Yeah.
Now, going one more game back,
That
freak injury to Williamson, what has he done? He got it on the hand while running?
He says, it's really unfortunate. I mean, what can you say? Such a nice guy. He twisted his ankle in March while playing for Gujarat in the IPL. He missed out for 6 months. He came and he batted as if he was bad. He was having a nets somewhere else. And that 6 months layoff did not have any impact on his batting. He's that kind of a gifted batsman. He got a 60 or 70 odd, a very good knock. And he gets a free, I mean, he suffers a freakish injury and probably might be out for 2 or 3 weeks. He would probably play only if, you know, the team needs him in the knockouts. So it's really unfortunate how many games he's going to miss. And right. 6 months of layoff, if that was not enough, here it is, you know, adding insult to injury. And you got a feel for Kane Williams. You got a feel for whole New Zealand setup. But they have players who can do the job for them. And even without Williamson, they won a couple of games initially. So I don't see any reason why, you know, they should suffer. I mean, I'm sure that they're going to, it's not going to hurt them a big deal. They have a captain who can, you know, fill in for him. So, yeah, but still it's a loss of your best batsman. So his experience would have been really handy in, you know, in the tough conditions. But I think you can't help it, you know, these kind of freakish injuries, it's in no one's control. So let's hope that at least he comes back a couple of weeks later and leads his team in the knockouts.
Hope so. And hope New Zealand make it there so that, you know, yeah. Williamson can still take part.
Yeah.
Maybe he does the Messi trick still, right, towards the end of the World Cup. Who knows?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Coming back to the game that finished a couple of minutes ago, the Sri Lanka versus Australia. Yeah. Surprised how Sri Lanka collapsed. Yeah. I mean, they were again looking like a 300 plus total.
Yeah. Exactly. And Lucknow has, surface has been relayed. So it's not the one which we saw in the IPL where, you know, into T20, 130, 140 was a match winning score and on that surface. Now we are in the 50 over format, it's what 300 is a given on that surface. So I saw the score in the evening while busy with my work. So 20 overs were all cruising and they had not lost a wicket for 100 odd. So I felt that 300 and they can put pressure on Australia. Australia having lost two initially, so they'll be under pressure. But bowling, great bowling effort from Australia to pull it back. And full marks to them. Adam Zampa did the trick for them. And then the seamers also. I think it was Pat Cummins who broke the partnership and gave them that opening. From then on, I think it was Zampa's show. Mm-hmm. And even Mitchell Starc came to the party. And the Australia, which I'm used to seeing all these days, that team, we finally saw that. And Australia did suffer a bit of, you know, at least setbacks initially. But the way I think Mitchell Marsh and Manus Labuschagne batted for that period where they stabilized the innings and allowed someone like Inglis and Maxwell to finish it off, just goes to show they have all their bases covered as far as batting is concerned. They have batters to do specific roles. Should there be wickets up front, Manish Abhisham is going to give you that kind of a stability. Mm. And you'll not find Stephen Smith missing out on most of the occasion. Unfortunately, it was not his day. He got out for a duck. But yeah, these 2 points were really important for Australia, Ajit. I mean, they were languishing down at number 10. Imagine, they were down and languishing down. So these 2 points will take them to number 7 or so. So they're probably would think about improving their net run rate going forward. So they're up and running. I hope that, you know, they get another 2 or 3 wins on the trot under the belt and that can get them going and they can be in the race for the top 4.
Right. I mean, as you say, some things have begun clicking for Australia. Some things are falling into plan. Yeah. Zampa getting the wickets, getting the confidence back. Starc getting the wickets, right? So that was all standard.
Yeah.
That was...
And also Cummins' form was really important, I think, because he was being criticized. I heard that there was a lot of noise made about Cummins, the ODI bowler in the Australian press. Mm. Probably he has answered his critics to a certain extent, I can say. I think two crucial wickets up front, probably has done his job. His captain spell, if I may call that.
Indeed.
Because getting two set batsmen, two openers out with you know, a sheer genius of his bowling probably gave them opportunity. They were 125 for no loss. So to get bowled out for 209, effectively what, losing 10, a wicket every 10 runs from there.
Correct.
Just goes to show the lack of experience on Sri Lanka's part. In the longer run, of course, they're going to struggle. They're good enough side to win a couple of games, but in the longer run, they're going to struggle. They just don't have the quality and the experience to, you know, play against top sides and maintain their consistency.
I'm just thinking, right, people like Dhananjaya De Silva, to an extent, even Dunit Velalage. See, I expect a lot out of Dhananjaya De Silva. People like Charita Salanka, Sadhira Samaravikram.
Yes, Salanka.
At least Mendes has been okay so far in the tournament. This was his first failure. The openers did their job today. So it falls on the middle order to capitalize, and they couldn't. That was a big problem.
Yeah. And if you observe their squad, Ajit, it's not that they have two or three rookies up there. Hmm. Each and every player has what? At least minimum experience of 50 games. They've been there and thereabouts. They've been playing cricket for Sri Lanka for more than 5 or 6 years. It's not that they have someone who's making his debut or who's not even 10 games old. They have that experience to a certain extent. I'm afraid they probably don't have the quality to sustain at this level. That's what I think. And I mean, you can't have a batsman who has played 60 or 70 games and he's just averages in the late 20s and early 30s. It just goes to show that the lack of quality in there. So I hope that, you know, unless they get a couple of batsmen in the class of Mahela Javad and Sangakkara, that kind of a batting order, with all, also the inexperience in the bowling, they're going to struggle against top teams. And from past 5 or 6 years, they've been a pale shadow of their former teams.
Correct. I think you have a good point. Look, people like Dhananjaya De Silva must step up. He's played, he's the case in point,
exactly.
80 ODIs, average 26. You can't bat at 5 and 6 and have that sort of an average, unless you are a bowler.
Exactly.
But he's a batsman who can bowl. So,
exactly.
In this case, today was a game where I expected, by the way, Dhananjaya De Silva to stand up. He does when the team is in trouble. I expected him to take Sri Lanka to maybe 260, 270, and then that would have been a good game, I thought. He couldn't do that. And then, look, maybe Dunit Velalage is young enough. He's not that much experienced. I mean, Sadhira Samavikrama has an off day because he's been more or less in good form this year. So, if you look at these two teams going forward, so Australia have got a little bit of their mojo back, but they're going to run into a Pakistan who will want to start winning again, right, next. So, and then they take on Netherlands, and then they take on New Zealand. So, they have an on and off sort of a situation, Australia. Do you see they'll be able to regain the momentum in the next three, four games?
They have the quality to do that. They have, you know, top players to do that. So I don't see any reason why they can't, win a few more games on the bounce. And they know that they realize their mistakes in the previous games. Mm. I'm hopeful that they win. For the tournament's sake, I'm just hoping that they win two or three on the trot. I don't want Australia to struggle. Of course, it's a top team. In my book, they're one of the favorites. I just hope that they find their mojo back and it's not an aberration. I hope this win. They continue and they pile on the victories from here.
Right. But also, when it comes to Sri Lanka, do you think they'll bounce back? They lost their captain, who was sort of reappointed last minute before the tournament began. Looks like he's out, much like New Zealand's Kane. He looks like he's more or less out of the tournament.
Williamson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see him coming back. And even if he's back, I don't know what quality he's going to add to the team because he bowls a bit. His batting average is somewhere in mid-20s. His strike rate is not great. So in that respect, I don't understand how he is being named the captain. So this could be a blessing in disguise. Probably they would feel a better player in that aspect. Mm. So you never know. But I don't see Sri Lanka making it. And to be very honest, I don't think they have the quality to make to the top four.
Right. Yeah, we were worried before the tournament began. They may become also runs if they're not careful. It's coming to fruition. We are really worried. It might become team might become an also run very quickly.
Yeah, it has become. And 2019 was the beginning. And you could see that there's not really much of a difference from the 2019 campaign.
Well, the World Cup in between, they have not done really well, but they showed a little bit of class. They won the Asia
Resilience.
Cup. They came to the finals of the next
Asia
one.
Cup.
There is something to be had there. So it remains to be seen if they're able to make it. At least they may actually upset one or two teams, hold one or two teams back.
One or two teams. Let's hope it's not India.
Indeed. So now, maybe a quick preview of tomorrow's game. It's Netherlands versus South Africa. Any chance at all of a upset or is South Africa simply way too hot?
South Africa, probably they're playing their best cricket. What do you think, Netherlands? And as a Netherlands supporter, you would be hoping that, you know, one game they can pull off against the top side. They're playing at Dharmasala and, you know, Dharmasala does provide a bit of assistance early on to the fast bowler.
Correct.
So, I mean, the best chance for the Netherlands is ball first, get a couple of wickets early on. You could see if you can, you know, restrict them to 250, within 250, then Netherlands can have a chance. But looking at the firepower of South Africa batting, if they let them go in the 10 overs, Quinton de Kock is in red hot form. Yeah. If he gets going, and Klassen and Bouma is not really, you know, he hasn't really come to the party. If he clicks, the 350 is a must. Is a given on this in this condition. So, for Netherlands would be hoping that they can, you know, knock one or two early and stay in the game. Let's hope that, you know, for a tournament perspective, it's a competitive game. You don't want a one-way kind of a traffic game. Let's hope that Netherlands put up a fight. And I'm sure that, I'm hopeful that, you know, Netherlands have the quality to, you know, compete. And it's not that they're not a pushovers by any means. So if the four or five of their top players have a good day, I don't see any reason why Netherlands can't put up a fight.
Absolutely. See, I have seen...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Different players click at different times, right? The question is, can all of them click at the same time? That's what they'll need to beat South Africa.
Come to that. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. That's how you win ODI games, don't you? Your top four or five players having a good day. That's all you need. You can't have all the 11 players performing on a single day. If your top four or five players have a good day, more often than not, you're going to win. And I hope that for Netherlands' perspective, I want someone like Roelof van der Merwe to show them the way. He has the experience. He has the class with both bat and ball. If he has a good day, another experienced guys, if they can put their hands up, Netherlands is a side to beat. They're a very good side. I mean, you can't get into World Cup just like that. I mean, they beat top quality sides in the qualifiers and they are here. They deserve to be here. And you saw that how they were here. They chased down some mammoth totals to get here. So they should win a couple of games, Ajit. I have the quality to do that.
For me, right, I look at it exactly the other way. They did surprise South Africa when they played them at home once. So that's the best way for them to do it. I'm hoping, you know, they actually bat first. Yeah. And they score that 280, 290 or 300. They do that. Yeah. And then they then put South Africa in a bit of trouble with the ball early on and so on. So let's see how it goes. Yeah. But I'm hoping for the best. I want the Netherlands team to come back with one or two victories. I don't want them to come home with an empty this thing. Yeah,
No one wants that, you know. You want all the top 10 teams to be competitive. You just don't want any team to, you know, to lose all the games. And it's just not a great thing to have a world event where having a couple of teams, they never turned up. You don't want a teams which never turned up. You didn't. Even from the bigger perspective, look at that. It's a World Cup and you have two teams who never really turned up. That's not a great thing. And I hope that, you know, I mean, Afghanistan got the monkey off their backs. There was 9 games in the 2019 World Cup. They started off with a victory. I hope the Netherlands also can do that.
Absolutely. Well, from your lips to whoever is hearing up there. Before we let you go, let's have a quick look at the SMAT trophy, Syed Mushtaq Ali. So before we go there, is it surprising that actually BCCI is beginning its domestic season even as it's holding a World Cup at home? Or is it out of sheer necessity that they don't have a choice?
Yeah, they don't have a chance either. Given the sheer volume of the games they need to host, they have no other option but to go for it, because they have women's games also clubbed with the BCCI. They need to organize a women's game also. There's Vinu Manka Trophy. Then you have the Ranji Trophy, Vijay Hazare, Irani Trophy coming up. The 6 months before the IPL, every single day is important. So they have planned the itinerary in that regard. And they made sure that, you know, all these games which are being held don't really clash with the World Cup venues. And they've been held in different states where the World Cup isn't being held. So, yeah, it is a necessity. You can't help it. Just like in Australia, how you have the Big Bash and the home season going on. It's the same thing over here.
All right. So, if you look at all the teams, you are the expert for us.
Yeah.
I know, I probably know which team you're going to back, but from purely from experience and other perspective, which team would you back?
Look, I want Karnataka to win, but you have Mumbai, which is really strong. Tamil Nadu under Washington Sundar. Mumbai won a fantastic game today. Ajinkya Rahane got 70 odd from 40 games. He's firing again, and just like how we did in the IPL. He hasn't changed one bit with his batting. Saurashtra again is a quality side. They won against Punjab today. So you have four or five really top teams, Ajit. Delhi, unfortunately, are not really the same side. So Mustaq Ali Trophy, it's been about what, last 5 or 6 years, if you see. It's been Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Mumbai who've been ruling the roost. So let's hope that other teams also turn up at sites like Gujarat, even Himachal Pradesh won a Vijay Hazare Trophy recently. Even they have a few quality players. So Kerala is one side which is really interested in. Sanju Samson leading them. They have a two or three really, you know, fine batters who can pack up. And someone like Azharuddin, Rohan, were really good bowlers. And Karnataka's Shreyas Gopal turned up for them today and picked up 4 wickets today.
Perfect.
4 for 17 on his debut for Kerala.
Good start.
So they have quality players there. Yeah, very good start. And I was happy for him. 4 for 17. And his dad just messaged me, you know, in the evening when this happened. And I was really happy for Shreyas. So he's someone who probably deserved much more chances in Karnataka. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So he made the right move. Hopefully, you know, he can kick on from here. So, let's hope it's a competitive tournament. You just don't want two or three boys bullying the other teams. A team like Assam with Rian Parag there, they are winning consistently. They're making it to the, you know, final stages, the knockouts and the quarterfinals. So, yeah, there are at least 7 or 8 quality teams which can surprise any team on a given day. And Mumbai is being led by Rahane this season.
Oh, the old war horse comes back. Good to hear.
Yeah, and the way he batted today, I think 40 balls, 73 runs. It's like he was having a net session somewhere there. And probably he's continuing his IPL form here.
Fair enough.
And they have a very good side, Ajit. They have Ashish Vijayaswal, Shivam Dubey, Ajinkya Rahane, and Sarfaraz Khan playing for them. And why wouldn't you win?
Correct.
Also, the bowling is good. Yeah.
Very, very relevant point what you make. And as you said, they've also had the quality over the last couple of seasons. But yeah, we both know, we both will want the same team to win, I suppose. But our hearts will say that. Let's see what our brains has to say.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had a washout today against Tamil Nadu. The marquee competition, the marquee game today, which we had. Tamil Nadu versus Karnataka, unfortunately, got washed out. Unfortunately, it was not live also. So that's what I tweeted. You know, they need to put in some thought, you know, before preparing the itinerary. Have these big games in that those kind of venues where you can air those games. For example, today's game versus Karnataka, Tamil Nadu Karnataka game, it was aired in a university ground. It was played in a university, apparently, it was supposed to be played on in a university ground where you can't have the equipments to air those games. And in the same city, you have another venue where all those games played there will be aired. Why can't you have Karnataka, Tamil Nadu big games in venues where you can? You have facility to, you know, live telecast. And this is simple things, Ajit. I mean, they need to work this out. It's a professional cricket body. Why wouldn't you want fans to watch two top teams playing against each other? Karnataka, Mumbai, Delhi, Karnataka. These kind of games need to be aired every single time. You just can't, you know, have this rotation policy and put some games somewhere and air some game just because they're playing at that particular venue. Put some thought, have top games in a venue where you can hear those games.
Ah, very, very relevant point that you're making. And it's good to hear.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good. Good overview, I think. And also, I hope the powers that be are actually listening and they take some learnings out of it. See, with the World Cup going on, they also have their top-tiered grounds have been reserved for the World Cup and so on. So, and those grounds cannot be reused, even though, let's just say, I don't know, I'm giving you an example. If Hyderabad hosted one game today in the World Cup and the next game is 10 days away, you will still not need to share that ground. So that means your top tier grounds are taken. This is one of those examples where probably common sense has actually been used.
Yeah,
that means your local local tournament might be played in some university grounds, other grounds which are still first class ready. So let's look at it the other way.
Yeah,
I'm saying maybe these other grounds get a chance to host these, you know, in theory, big games. That means they get a chance to improve themselves beforehand, and maybe they attract some local crowd. For me, that's the important part.
That's important. Yeah, yeah. having these first-class competitions and list-day competitions in second-tier cities, Ajit, it's a great deal. You know, when you have, even in Karnataka, when you see Ranji Trophy matches being held in Shivamogga, Mysore,
right,
in those kind of Hubli, in those kind of cities, you will see jam-packed stadiums. I mean, that's what, you know, it's a big deal when someone like KL Rahul, Manish Pandey turn up and play in Shivamogga, Mysore. People come to watch them. So as a cricket boy, you need to take cricket to these kind of cities.
Correct.
And of course, I mean, Bangalore, any game will be houseful. Unfortunately, Ranji Trophy is not really, considering the other cities, Karnataka is doing much better. I think Bangalore, people still turn up. More people turn up in cities like Mysore, Hubli, and these kind of cities. So you could see that. Hope that, you know, that happens in the days to come. Having Ranji Trophy matches and all the domestic matches in tier 2 cities.
Fair enough. I mean, that might be a way forward as well. The board is actually willing all your T20 games will be in tier 2 cities. All your other sort of games will be in these sort of cities. Your 4-day games will be. And maybe they have a policy. We don't know that. I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt for once. Yeah. BCCA. All right.
Yeah. True.
Those were all the topics we had in mind for this specific Digest episode. So thank you once again, Ramu, for coming on this podcast episode.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ajit. And it was nice talking to you again.
I mean, you've been very kind. You've been giving some time, pretty late hours, Indian hours. So I must, thank you especially for that, because after the match we talk, and mostly the match ends fairly late in the evening for you.
Yeah. Anything for cricket, Ajit. Say hello for the game.
Perfect. Yeah. You also told me a couple of things off air, so I know you're even more diehard fan than me about cricket. So great to hear.
Yeah. You're all the same. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. We wish all our listeners a good day, wherever they may be listening from. And do join us again for the upcoming episodes. Thank you and bye-bye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Podcast Network.